Hello, everyone. It's really good to see you again. I've been gone a couple weeks because I was speaking somewhere else last week, and then the weekend before that was at our church leadership retreat. So I'm really excited to see you all. It's good to, because I think before that I was sick, and then before that was Philippines. So yeah, it's been a while since I've seen some of you. James, can we get, or Andrew, can we get that screen working or no? It's not going to work today. That's all right. So, because some of us, mainly me, haven't seen each other in a while, I want to do something today. So in our family, every night at dinner time, we do high-low buffalo. So what high-low buffalo is we share something from the day that was a highlight or something that made us happy, and then we share a low, so something that made us sad or frustrated, and then buffalo is the unexpected, random, or funny thing that happened in the day. And so what I would like for us to do is I want you to actually stand in a moment and walk across and find someone that you haven't talked to in a few weeks at least, or maybe someone you've never met before, and I want you to start the conversation with them. You don't have to go through all three, but simply start the conversation with them and make sure they get a chance to share as well. And I'm going to time it, so it'll be 5 minutes. One of these things, or all of those things, depending on how you go with time. And then after the 5 minutes, I will have another prayer, and then we'll resume the sermon. All right, so everyone, get up, walk across, don't be shy. You could just do this for the whole church service. You will get a chance to talk more at discussion time, but let me just share a little bit. Let's just have a word of prayer again, and then we'll get back into it. Father God, thank you for bringing us to church on this rainy, cold, miserable Melbourne day. But thank you that here in this space with this group of people, we're able to find connection with you and each other. And thank you that we can think about the meaning of church today. And I pray for those who couldn't come, that you would meet their needs and fill their cups wherever they may be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, just kind of recapping, 2 weeks ago, our leadership went away, and we prayed, and we planned, and we talked about church for the year. And we're going to be sharing, you've already hopefully gotten the calendar, the draft calendar, and we'll finalize that and we'll give you fridge magnet versions to take home. But in addition to the calendar, we have some kind of big picture things that we're praying and thinking and wanting to implement that have to do with discipleship, which is just a fancy word for learning to be with God, learn to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do as Jesus did and does. Leadership, you know, how do we raise up leadership, and how do we continue to structure this community so that it works well and is sustainable for all? And then also community, right? How do we build community with each other so that we have an authentic community that has radical love and care for each other and is able to then extend that to those outside of this community as well. So we're going to be sharing over the next weeks and months some of the initiatives that we have planned. One of those things, which we'll talk more about in the future, is that we are implementing a personalized, I'm using that word again, discipleship, but really a way for you to connect with God and others in a more, I guess, concrete way. And we'll explain more of what we're talking about in the weeks to come. But just wanted to let you know that the work that we did 2 weekends ago was really good heart work. And we're going to continue to pray together as a church. And you have a chance to give us lots of feedback and input. You know, one of the things I love about our church is that we're very flexible, right? Like, over the years, we're like, we don't want music. All right. We want music. Okay. Now we have music every other week, right? Like, we are willing to do what needs to happen so that God and his character can be shown out through all of us and to the community in the best way that we know how. All right, that's enough of that. So last Friday, I went to this talk by Rachel Turner, who is from the UK, and she gave this talk on parenting children for faith. And I loved it. I wish I had known this like 5 years ago. And if you're a parent, come talk to me later and I'll give you like the summary. But one of the things that she said really stuck with me, a story she told, and it's inspired the sermon that I'm about to share. So she told this story, and it's so relatable because it happened to me this morning. But she shared a story of her son, who was 9 years old and woke up and said, "I don't want to go to church today." Okay? And instead of making a big fuss, and I'm really glad she gave this talk a week ago so that I was able to have that tool within me today, the mother turned to the son and said, "Okay, well, why not? Because it's an opportunity to learn, right? Instead of having a big reaction, well, too bad, you're going, you know? Like, okay, why not? Why not?" And the son said, "Church is so boring," right? And which none of you feel, I'm sure. And so then, don't laugh so hard, Kate. So then, you know, the mother said, "Okay, well, church is about 5 things. And I wrote down exactly what she said. She said, church is about 1, drawing near to God, right, through the songs and the word of God and worship. 2, learning how to radically love each other, not just tolerate or endure, but to radically love each other. 3, encouraging each other, saying, you can do this, God is with you. 4, being a body of Christ, which means you're part of a greater whole and you're serving together, right? Serving each other, serving the church, serving the world. And 5, pursuing the Spirit, that we come to church to be transformed by the Spirit, but also walk alongside others who are being transformed by the Spirit." So the mom said, "Okay, so these are the 5 reasons we go to church and church exists and the purpose of church. So which one of these things are you not doing? Because that's why church is boring." And I'm sure she explained it to like a 9-year-old vocabulary as well. And so then they had a little discussion and she said, okay. They identified that he wanted to try the encouragement thing. So she said, "All right, today I want you to go to church and I want you to talk to 3 people. And I want you to ask them a question like, how was your week? Okay? And I want you to get to know them and connect with them. So 3 people. And then let's see if you still think church is boring." So he's like, "All right." They get to church, you know, and the mom's like, "All right, okay, church hasn't started yet. The service hasn't started yet. So off you go." And so she, you know, she's keeping an eye on him, and he walks over to a person that they knew, and he said, "What's the worst thing that happened to you this week?" And so the mom was like, "Oh, I should have prepped him a little bit better about the kind of question he could ask." And, you know, the man was a bit startled, but knew the boy, so I was like, thought about it, and then told him. And the boy's like, "Cool." And then looked at the mom, mom's like, and then he walked over to another person and was like, "Same thing. Hey, what's the worst thing that happened to you this week?" And so the mom's watching, and okay, conversation ended. And then a woman walked into the church. And before she could even think twice, her son went up to this woman and said, "Hi, what's the worst thing that's happened to you this week?" And the woman burst into tears. So the mom hurries over, right? And she's just like, "Hi, is everything okay?" And the woman said, "I'm so sorry. But you see, I haven't been to church in years because I felt like everything was so fake. People, you know, the conversations were all superficial. Nobody was really talking about anything real. And I had told God that, and I just, what's the point?" And so I left church. And this morning, I really felt like God was telling me to give it one more go. So I told God, I will go. But if no one asks me a real question, I'm never coming back." And I walked in, and your son asked me a real question. "What's the worst thing that happened to me this week?" So the mom took the woman, took her son, and they sat off to the side, missed the sermon, and they were listening to her story and chatting, and the mom said to the boy, "You started this, you follow up, pray for this woman." So he's like, "Okay." So then he prayed for the woman, and then the woman thanked them, and then they came back in the church and, you know, continued church time. And then as they were driving home, the mom turned to her son and said, "So, was church boring today?" And he said, "Can I please do that again?" And he ended up being on the welcome team of this church. And Rachel was saying that he was like the best greeter, right? Shenden, you have some training to do. They said that this boy would, you know, if a new family came in, and he'd be like, "What school does your kid go to? What grade is in? Oh, you're in grade 3. Here, meet this other family." And they've got a 7-year-old, and he would connect people. And he was like this amazing, like, magnet that just made everyone feel welcome. And Rachel told this story, of course, in the context of parenting, but it just made me think about, oh, man, right? When it comes to church, how many times do we come and leave without having had one meaningful conversation, right? How many times do we come? Hello, happy Sabbath, how are you? Good, or eh, and then, oh, interrupted by something, or the next program, or distracted by the food, or, you know, something. And it's really hard sometimes, right? And I, as the pastor of this church, there are so many times when I come and I leave and I'm just like, did I talk to anybody today besides the very, very superficial, like, quick hello, right? Or across the distance, like, hello, right? But did I sit down and actually have a meaningful conversation? It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be life-changing, but a real conversation to really hear what's happening, to learn something new about someone, right? And feel like you got to know them better. And so I've been thinking about church this week, and that's why the title, Get More Out of Church. Get More Out of Church. Now, here are some reasons why people come to church. And I want you to think about why you came to church today. I've lost Andrew, my wonderful AV person. Thank you. So why people attend church, okay? And you don't have to answer, but in your head, I want you to think about why you came to church today. Here are the common reasons why people attend church. Number one, it's the thing to do. It's the Sabbath. Must go to church. Or, I've been going to church every Saturday. It's the thing to do, right? It's the thing to do. Or two, you're involved in some way, okay? You poor thing got suckered into doing nibbles today or something, okay? You're involved in some way, you had to come. Or you came to worship and experience God. You came to connect with others. You came for someone else. My poor children went to 2 churches today because I was preaching somewhere else this morning. They had to come. There was no choice, okay? And perhaps you came to church because you're seeking truth, right? You're here because you want to know who is God and what is Christianity all about. So you're seeking truth. Or perhaps you're seeking comfort or peace. You've had a tough week, right? And when you come to church, there is something here that helps you, so you come. So these are the 7 common reasons people come. And perhaps your reason for why you came today is not on there. I'd be curious to hear why you came. Here's the 7 common reasons people don't attend church. And I'm not talking about non-Christians. There's a whole different list of reasons non-Christians don't go to church. But this is the list of why Christians don't go to church. Number one, other priorities. There is a birthday party, there is a wedding, there is a holiday, there's, right, other priorities, so church, do it another time. Number two, don't feel the benefit, right? It's like, oh, I have to get wet, find a car park, shower, and like there are barriers, and is the cost worth the benefit? And sometimes people decide, nah, not worth it today. Number three, perhaps they've been hurt or disappointed by church members in the past. Or this is one that a lot of like millennials and Gen Zs have, social anxiety and fear and shame, like not feeling comfortable being with people. Disconnect. If they're not feeling connected with God, they're probably not going to want to come to church either. Leadership disagreements. And again, I'm sure that doesn't happen with anybody here, but if you disagree with the way the leaders are running church, or you just don't like the strategy of the church, that might be a reason why you don't attend. Or having to go alone without a partner or friend. If you're the only believer in your family, or you're single, or you go to different churches, or, you know, and it's hard then to get up the courage to come by yourself, right? And so that's another reason why people in this national Australian survey have said the reason for not attending as regularly. Now, I have preached sermons in the past about the purpose of church. I've shared the metaphors the Bible teaches about how the church is a body, how the church is a temple, how the church is a family. Okay, I don't want to talk about that all again. Today I'm going to keep it really, really simple. And I want to talk about what Jesus said is the purpose of church. So we could be looking at all kinds of Ephesians and 1 Corinthians and Romans, but we're not doing that. We're going to look at one passage. Well, one main passage. So church, that concept, right? So there are some people who think that church is an institution, a human, flawed institution. And I agree that it is very flawed, right? Historically and currently, the church is flawed because people are flawed. And so let's be clear. Yeah, church is not perfect. But here's the thing that I disagree with. When people say, oh, I am all for Christ and Jesus, but I don't like organized religion. So I don't support church because that's an institution. But here's the thing. Church is not a human idea. The first person in the Bible who used the word church is Jesus. Church is actually Jesus' idea. So that's the passage we're coming to now. Matthew chapter 16. So Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he asks them this question, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, one of the prophets, meaning a prophet is someone who receives a message from God and shares it with people. So they're saying, well, people think you're this great, you know, this individual who receives messages from God and shares them. And then Jesus says, but what about you? Who do you say I am? And then Peter, the ever-confident disciple, says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So this is the first time the concept of church is spoken in the history of humanity. It's through the word mouth of Jesus. And he uses this Greek word ecclesia, which means, as you saw in the previous slide, gathering. And the Greco-Romans used this word, ecclesia, for when they had assemblies, when they had council meetings, when they wanted to discuss something, when they wanted to get something done, right? They would have an ecclesia. So it wasn't a place. It wasn't a building. Oftentimes they gathered outside. It was simply a gathering. And so church, in its simplest form, is a gathering where four people gather together to talk about what? To talk about this question, who do you say I am? This is it. This is what church in its simplest and most powerful form is a gathering of two or three or more people to answer that question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And more importantly, who is Jesus to us? Now, there's a lot of answers to that question that we can say. We can say like the disciples, oh, Jesus, you are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. You are the Creator. You are the Sustainer. We can list all the names of God, right? But Jesus turns around and says, okay, that's what all the known, you know, identity for me is, but who do you say that I am? And that's a very personal question. And the answer to that personal question is, it requires incredible honesty. And so not only is church a gathering where people talk about who Jesus is on that intellectual, theological level, which is important, but It's also the gathering where people talk about who Jesus is personally to them. And this is so important. A few weeks ago, I was feeling really discouraged. We had just returned from the Philippines and recovered from our sickness, and school was beginning again, and work, you know, was beginning again, and I had planned very poorly when I said yes to a bunch of things. And so I just had overlapped so many speaking engagements and trips and stuff. So I was looking at the calendar, and like my first Sunday free was in July. And I was like, this is not okay, right? And I was feeling overwhelmed. I was feeling anxious. As I was feeling overwhelmed and anxious, then I felt really inadequate, right? Because it's like, well, if I were adequate, I wouldn't be overwhelmed. I'd be able to do it all without feeling anxious, was the thought process I had. So then when I was feeling inadequate, then I felt really unworthy. And then I just went into this deep, dark hole where it was like this thick heaviness over me. And everything took so much effort, right? Getting through the day and just feeding the children. And like everything took so much effort. And I could have kept it to myself, but one, I'm incapable of doing so. And two, I believe wholeheartedly that if we are honest, not only with ourselves, but each other, that's when God can really show up, right? So I asked everyone for prayer because I was crying all the time, and they were like, are you okay? And so I told them what was going on, and people prayed for me. And one of my prayer partners, Sylvia, she messaged me, you know, about a week had passed, and she messaged me one night. I was in bed, and she messaged me this little sentence. She said, I was reading John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Have you ever wondered why the angels did not appear to John and Peter, but rather instead to Mary after they left? So I'm in bed, so I'm like, huh. So I open up my Bible app, and then so I read John chapter 20 to see what she was, the context of what she was asking. And I read this. So Jesus had died. He had been buried in a cave with a large stone sealing it. But Sunday morning when some of the women went, the stone had been rolled away and the tomb was empty. And so the women then ran to tell the other disciples, and the two of the disciples, John and Peter, had come, found the place empty, and then they went back home. But Mary stayed, and so we pick up the story in verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." And at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. And so there I am, lying in bed, scrolling through, reading this, and the thought just strikes me like a thunderbolt, right? Why did the angels and ultimately Jesus appear to Mary, but not to John and Peter? And the thought, the answer to that question that jumped out to me was simply that she was crying. And so when you look at the text, it says that, can I get Andrew? Thank you. Oh, well, I'm seeing something else there, which is why I keep scrolling, sorry. That she was crying, and as she wept, she saw the angels. And again, as she's crying, Jesus appears to her. And the thought, I became wide awake. So I was lying in bed, but I stood up, and For the next hour, I couldn't stop thinking about this passage. So then I left the bed, I went to my office, I opened my laptop, and I took notes of the thoughts that I was having. And this is what I wrote. Jesus shows up for the discouraged. Jesus showed himself to Mary not because she deserved it most, but because she needed it the most. Not that she wasn't worthy, but that it wasn't about her worth at all, but the fact that Jesus cared about her and the fact that she was weeping. And she went to share with others the good news that Jesus was alive because it was good news, not worrying about whether she was good enough to share it. The fact that Jesus is alive will comfort others in their pain and bring hope, and so she goes out simply with that message. I can live with that calling. I had forgotten in my 20 years of ministry that it's not my ability or my inability, my worthiness or my unworthiness that makes me a good messenger, but just simply that I have a good message to share. The goodness of the message and the goodness of Jesus is compelling enough, and I don't have to be afraid of my inadequacy or of other people and what they do or don't do or how they impact me. If I focus on sharing good news that Jesus cares about them too, then the weeping can turn to rejoicing. And after I wrote those things, I'm still like wide awake. And so then I'm having my own like worship session at midnight. Silva probably went back to sleep after sending me that question. But I was sitting there thinking, you know, it wasn't her question. It wasn't my reading of the passage. I really felt that in that moment, God showed up and ministered to me. Because Jesus cares when we cry. And the transformation in my heart and mind and body was palpable, right? Before that, I felt like I was just plodding along. You know, my head down, hand to the plow, just work through it, right? Just do the things I have to do, right? And just get through it. But here's the thing. The reason why I had adopted that attitude was because somewhere along the way, I had forgotten who Jesus is to me. You see, Jesus is not my boss who gives me performance reviews of how well I'm living out his teachings or how well I'm convincing others to follow him. He's not a concept I have to sell or even someone that I have to matchmake with everyone in the world, right? Jesus is my God who cares about me when I am in need. And he shows up. This time he showed up through the prayers of those around me, through the text message, right? Through the word of God, he showed up. And so even though I'm sure, you know, not everything's fixed, and even though I'm, you know, probably going to crash and burn at some other point, but that doesn't matter. What matters is that for now, I feel like I'm soaring, right? Not like an eagle. I'm not there yet. But at least like a goose, right? There, I am off the ground, and that is a good place to be. And in those moments when I do fall back down, right, I'm always going to ask for prayer. And I will always welcome you reminding me and telling me who Jesus is. And I hope that you will do the same. Because church is a gathering of people who ask and answer honestly, who is Jesus to you, right? Not just, oh, we all, Jesus is sovereign God, but who is Jesus to you? If you had a really tough week and you didn't feel like God answered your prayer, then say, Jesus is a gardener, right? Mary thought Jesus was the gardener. And that's okay to say, this week Jesus was a gardener. I was crying and he was just there, but didn't fix my problem. And that's okay, because when you are able to say honestly where you're at in your, at that moment, relationship with him, that's when church, right? That's when the rest of us have an opportunity to say, I'm sorry, but hey, could the gardener be Jesus? Could it be that he's there for you? And actually encourage each other. Hebrews chapter 10 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And that's the hope that Jesus shows up wherever there are two or three gathered, wherever you are in distress, wherever you are crying out to him, Jesus is there. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, right? Not giving up gathering, not giving up being ecclesia, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, for a very long time, I think many of us have been asking the wrong questions. We've been asking, you know, the question when it comes to church, do I want to go? Do I have to go? What will I get out of it? But I think it's time to change the questions to how can I contribute to my church today, right? How can I give to them my picture of who Jesus is to me right now? Who can I encourage or serve? What can I give? Because there's this other thing that Jesus said, which is that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And it is so true. Because you see, when you give God, when you come to church to give God your worship, rather than expecting the worship service to give God to you, when you come to church to give your time and your attention to someone rather than expecting others to come and say hello, when you come to church to give radical love and forgiveness rather than expecting the other person to offer you grace, when you come to church to give of your experience and your talents and your spiritual gifts and your vulnerability rather than expecting the church to meet your needs, as you give, you actually get so much more. You get a greater understanding of who Jesus is. You get community and authentic relationships. You get the incredible miracle of a diverse group of people who, even though they're all different, can actually still connect and love each other. You get support when you're in need. Church becomes so much more than just what you want to get out of it when you actually switch that mindset to, what can you give? And are you willing to come and talk about Jesus, not just theoretically, but who he is to you personally? I want to leave you with a challenge today. And the challenge is this. Now, I think that the best part of our church, it's not the sermon, it's a discussion time, right? And I love that about our church. Since we started MCAC 10 years ago, that's been a foundational part of our community, is that we have discussion time after church, and we have nibbles, and we have smaller tables, and we have questions, and that is a prime opportunity for you to share who Jesus is to you or who he isn't to you. Is he a gardener? Is he a crazy person, right? Who is Jesus to you? But also to hear someone else's story and testimony of who Jesus is to them. It's also an opportunity for you to talk about other things and find out that everyone here is an incredible human being, and we have so much to learn from each other. So my challenge is this. Don't leave church today without having had one honest conversation. You know, beginning of this sermon, I had you guys go and talk to each other, and maybe you've already done that. So check, well done, homework done, right? But perhaps it was still at that comfort level that, you know, where you're like, I am happy to share this, right? I want to challenge you to have one honest conversation with someone today before you leave. I want to challenge you to encourage someone today before you leave. And encouragement doesn't have to be like, put on your cheerleader outfit and, you know, do a song and dance. Encouragement is simply listening to someone and saying, well, that sounds really hard. So that they feel heard and seen, that they're not crazy, right? And encouragement can simply just be like, wow, you're incredibly brave for going through what you did, right? And seeing and validating their courage and their resilience. Encouraging can simply just be, you know what? I think what you're doing, who you are, right? And whatever aspect that is based on their story is actually really unique and special, right? So I would like to challenge you today to step out of your comfort zone, to remember that church is a gathering where we talk about Jesus, not just theoretically, but practically. Who is Jesus to you, and why does it matter? And we come to church for various reasons, but let's leave all having connected with a greater picture of God because we have heard someone else's experience of him. And let's leave this place knowing that we have also connected with at least one other person, right? Getting to know them better. And that one other person got to know us better. And that we left encouraged. So that's my challenge and my prayer. And I want to leave you this verse, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you have gifted us church and that it is your chosen method and your chosen laboratory where we learn grace, where we learn community, where we learn forgiveness, where we learn how to love unlovable people, and where we, Father God, ultimately learn to glorify you and worship you and serve you. Father, we ask that you would help us to have a bit more courage and to be willing to share with each other honest pictures of where we are in our journey with you, where we are in our journey with ourselves and each other, and that we can encourage each other because you encourage us. Thank you for showing up wherever we're gathered and for giving us the incredible privilege of being together and learning and growing together as a community. I'm so grateful personally for MCAC, and I pray that you would continue to help us to make this space a safe space where we can be church in a more meaningful way each and every week and day. We pray in your son's name. Amen.